okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it?
Yes.
Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Guys. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures up 15. NASDAQ up 97. Looks like we're going to start to the upside again today, like we seem to constantly do, as we're in negotiations to pour more money into the system. It's our turn. I mean, 2 weeks ago, the European Union put $850 billion in, so now it's our turn to do a trillion or so every other week. I just wonder if... One of these days the manna from heaven is going to stop, and I just wonder what position we're going to be in, because it seems like it's taken more and more to get the market up even a little bit more, other than the four or five stocks to keep moving. And it's something obviously to be worried about if you're managing people's money, because the idea is, I mean, of course everybody wants you to be fully long until the day it turns, but that's kind of hard to do, so you sort of have to be protected along the way. And you don't have to be, but it depends on the person. I mean, if the person is retired or has a pretty big nest egg or has a concentration issue in a little stock, I mean, in one stock, what you don't want to do is do what they used to call on the trading floor the U-turn. And when I say what the U-turn is, I mean, you ride it all the way up and you ride it all the way down. And I mentioned once in a while this seminar that I gave. Well, I was a speaker at a seminar. I didn't give the seminar in Brooklyn. I wouldn't have had any idea to give a seminar in Brooklyn. And these people all were involved in, well, they were in Cisco stocks. Some of them got in at 10, 15, 20. I think a couple of them might have got in, you know, very early, like under 10. The stock made it, I think, 62 plus, somewhere in there. It went all the way down to 650. So if you wrote it all the way up, wrote it all the way down, and one of the most successful money managers in the country was a guy from Ohio, and I think he was from Akron or someplace. And his biggest chunk of his portfolio was Cisco, and he wrote it all the way up, and he wrote it all the way down, and he never sold a share, never sold a call, never bought a put. And you sort of just can't do that, because there's always going to be somebody who bought it at 50 or some. I pity the fool. Some guy bought it, you know, whatever, at the tip top at 61 or whatever it was, and it's now sitting there at 6. So you sort of have to be, you know, somewhat mindful that unless it's a very unusual company that's going to last like 100 years and do the best of everybody, if you buy something at 40 and 4 months later it's 80, it's probably not as good a buy at 80 as it was at 40. I mean, it doesn't mean it won't keep going, but still, it's not as good a buy there as it was at 80, shall we, or at 40. So that's, we have these issues, and we have a political group that has made the stock market, which is supposed to be somewhat of a predictor or a judgment of the future a little bit. They've totally essentially said that's not the case. We're going to keep this up, especially probably into the election. But I don't know how that goes, Manny. I was listening to I thought it was Mattis on. Anyway, some pro-administration guy, even though he's out now, right?
He's been out, yeah.
But he was
in the administration, and then he, like many others in that cabinet or whatever, got bounced or bounced on his own, and now he hates Trump.
But he was pretty pro the rest of the group and pretty pro-policy and so forth. And so he was on, and then it was Claypool, Clay something-something from South Carolina, the African-American guy. And one is on absolutely one side of the page, and the other is on the other. And I just keep listening to this man when I'm trying to get my truck washed. And matter of fact, I'm listening to two guys while I'm going through the wash. They sound exactly the same. You ask them a question, they don't answer the question. They got their policy, and they're sticking to it. And of course, the one guy, everybody's been a teacher. Everybody's been something. There's all this BS. Well, you were a teacher. Would you go back to school? Not on your life. I'd never go back to school until there's 100% this, and we've got more money for masks and more money. These guys all have stock in mask companies or you know, poly, what's it, the poly sheets or whatever companies. I mean, and what are we doing? I mean, unless there's money thrown their way on either side, it doesn't matter what the subject is. It's just, I mean, do they realize how alike they sound, or is that just me listening and reading this stuff so much I'm starting to pick up all how it's so alike? Yeah, I don't know the answer, but it seems like you can't get an answer out of anybody. I mean, the administration's done a horrendous job with this, this pandemic. Well, what could they have done differently? Well, we'd have done a lot better. Well, what would you have done differently? Nothing. There's no solution. There's no anything. I just say they did a horrible job. Okay, well, what would you do now to make it better? These guys, I can't imagine a worse job. I mean, on the other side, well, it still looks like it's out of control in some areas. Well, come on, we've done this, we've done that. They never answered. There isn't a solution in either one of the statements. Or am I just being too grumpy here?
What are you watching?
I was listening to Face the Nation. Or whatever's on BBM, channel CBS. So is that Face the Nation or is that the other one?
I'm not sure. I think it's Face the Nation.
Well, they do it on TV, but you listen to the radio, BBM, on Sunday morning, and that's what you get. They replay it on the radio.
Yeah, what's a solution to what problem are you looking
for?
I'm sorry.
Whatever it is, whatever the question is, you ask for a solution. The answer always is how the other side's bleeping it up.
Yeah,
be better.
They play politics. Either they don't have a solution, which is probably the most likely,
yes,
or they just have canned answers and they're all coached by the same PR people. And so they sound kind of the exact same, just coming from the other side.
Right. I mean, and you sit there and listen to this and you go, there's no solution here. But you wonder if there is anybody, any place, I mean, is there ever a spot where these guys can sit down and say, okay, let's leave the BS at the door. What are we going to do here? We have to govern. I don't know. That has to be happening someplace. Some of these committees, that has to happen. These guys aren't all that ignorant. When I say ignorant, they're not dumb people. What I'm saying, they have to realize that someplace their job is to govern. Do you think? Or is it even worse than I think?
I don't know. I don't follow it that closely anymore. I guess I never really did follow it that closely. I really don't have a strong opinion. I don't know what they do. It seems that whenever something happens, they take advantage of it and stuff tons of things into a particular bill. Both sides do that. And then they fight it out and then say, if you don't pass this, then you don't care about these people, this group of people, for this reason. And it's just tiring, and I don't really have any time for it.
Well, the problem is, I would agree with you, but now it's front and center. It's throwing people out of business. I mean, it's making massive policy changes that are hurting the hell out of people. So it's hard to say I'm ignoring it when they're throwing you out of business. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I mean, I'm not criticizing you personally, but I'm saying you can't. I mean, I was at dinner with a couple of people that are very pro-Trump the other night. They're like, well, I don't really want to pay any attention to politics. What do you mean you're not going to pay attention to you? They could will your place out of business tomorrow. I mean, I tell you what, it's the one difference between somebody my age, and these people are like a little younger, and older than me and the rest of the world. You didn't have the ability to opt out in Vietnam. You couldn't say, I'm not paying attention because it was going to be your ass in the jungle the next day.
No doubt about that.
And how can you be a bar owner now or a restaurant owner and not be concerned about Jay or Lori's next dictum?
Well, that's different. That's not what you were talking about. You're talking about the Senate, and I couldn't care less about the Senate.
Well, but I'm saying they're coming up, they're doing
local politics can be very important, especially if you're a business owner.
Well,
absolutely.
If you and your lovely bride are paying taxes out the behind 40% more than you should have because they gave money to people these last 2 years that shouldn't have got it, believe me, it's a problem for you. You may not notice it. I mean, you may not put two and two together. You probably will. But it's clearly an issue, right?
So the money they gave to who they weren't supposed to give money to, what does that mean?
What I'm saying is if the somehow or another Kodak is getting this huge contract, all right? We don't exactly.
Well, someone was going to get the contract to make the chemicals.
But
someone's got to make them,
but
right?
But I'm saying when they're not free bid, okay.
How do you know they weren't free bid?
I'm going to say I suspect they weren't. When has anything ever been free bid from these big pharmaceuticals?
I'm not in that business. I wouldn't know. You're probably right. But I don't know.
Well, even now, if they pay people $600 a week on the unemployment, I mean, the number should probably be...
They don't anymore. That ended.
It might be right back up again next week.
It could be, but it's not yet.
Okay, but it's going to be something. All right, so if it's 200...
Again, you're speculating. It could be. I don't know.
You're saying they're going to stop it from zero.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying I don't know.
Well, right now, the spread's 2.6. The Republicans have said 2, and the Democrats at 6, so it's not going to be zero.
So what's it going to be, 4?
354, something like that, 300. But I'm saying if it is 6, okay, now you and I that are paying taxes are paying that, okay? And all the people that are working are paying that. And what I think what our creatures are missing is there's more and more people that are working that are somewhat pissed off. That the commercial with the guy who's the... Is it not Amazon? It's what business is the guy in? And he's this Hispanic guy in a warehouse. Might be Amazon. Hispanic guy in a warehouse, and he's talking about he comes to work every day and he has to make sure that the rest of the country gets the stuff he's doing. I mean, seems like a likable guy, and I'm happy he's there. But don't the people that are staying home getting paid watch that and feel bad? Does anybody have a?
So you're saying the people that lost their job don't want to work?
I think...
Because I haven't met one of those.
I have.
I mean, if you're making... If you had a $12 an hour job, maybe. But people that had real jobs... and I'm not saying a $12 an hour job is not a real job. That's not what I mean. But people that had career-type jobs, not just a job, that lost it, are dying to get back to having a real job.
They absolutely. But the public
and
employees...
And that's the 40 million out of the 45.
The public employees do not feel that way.
Well, public employees that are still getting paid...
That's a different story.
That's a different story.
Well, that's where the money's going.
That said, I've had to do two public things, and someone's working because it was seamless.
Right.
I got my license plate sticker within 2 business days. And Jill got her city sticker within 2 business days. Just ordering online, got them, no problem. Still getting Secretary of State, LLC, annual filing stuff, all that. Everything's still running, so someone's working. I don't know. There's obviously a lot of public people that are not working, but some...
Well, there's a lot of stuff that
there's
is.
There's a lot that are working, because we're still... I mean, we're still getting the same
gonna,
bills, gonna, and we're still
I'm
getting
the same
stickers
you are,
and everything.
You are, I actually got my city sticker pretty quick, too, but try getting a FOID card.
Why would I try to do that?
I'm just saying. It's another group that all of a sudden, they're not doing so hot. Kevin had said in Michigan, he tried to get his duplicate title. It's been 2 months. I mean, there's places, anybody who calls the unemployment people.
So maybe the revenue stuff is still working.
No kidding.
Weird. Yeah, what a strange,
what a strange concept.
But if revenue's not tied to it, then,
right.
Good luck. That could very well be.
And none of the teachers want to go back to school. Until they double the size of the classroom. So I was listening to Audrey's cousin tell me, I said, what's the story with Ryan in school? And he's in, they live in Lamont, so I have no idea what township that is or something. Well, they're settling, and you had to vote either stay at home or else you come in half the day. I'm like, okay, so if you leave at 12, you're not infectious from 9 to 12, but you'd be infectious in the afternoon. I mean, who comes up with these ideas, man? What's the point? How can you be a little pregnant? You're either going to have, or unless they're splitting the classes so that everybody's further apart or whatever the hell it is, the thought of a bunch of 8-year-olds socially distancing, I can't even have a concept, can you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, 8-year-olds are not going to social distance. I've always kind of been on what I would consider to be in the middle on this. I do not think it's the bubonic plague like people, like a lot of my friends and people on the left seem to think it is. I also don't think it's a hoax / not a big deal like people on the right seem to think it is. Where, we were up in Wisconsin at Lake Geneva 2 weeks ago and no one had a mask on, no one gave a crap, the bars were packed, everyone's on top of each other, and then sure enough they had I haven't read it that closely, but they had a big spike and the governor's ordering like shutdowns and all this stuff in Wisconsin. I was not surprised to see that. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. I don't know the right answers, but if coming up with new ideas and new ways of looking at things is going to get people back, then I'm willing to listen to those types of ideas.
I would agree with you. I don't know, but it seems to me that we're going to have all can be surprised. As you know, I'm not. I sent out the email yesterday to the guys who were fighting on both sides of our stuff, and I said, you know, when you're in the middle now, hey, you don't have any friends, so that part's
well.
No
you
good.
Are not in the middle on this. You are way right on this, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't act like you're in the middle on this. You are not.
I am in the middle.
No, you're not. Not even close.
I am absolutely aware of how contagious this is. In fact, I have a better read on that than most because I read the original studies saying it's like 1,000 times more contagious than SARS. But I also know it seems to have, whatever the mutation has been, not that many people are all that sick. So I also know that there's going to be a time here where you're going to say, where we're going to have to say, the people who are the most susceptible, and we know who they are we're going to have to protect them, and it's not going to be a fight over people who...
And how do we protect them?
Well, obviously, be careful about nursing homes. You don't have people at hospitals going to nursing homes in their same outfit like they did in New York in March.
Right.
And you make sure that those places are locked down.
But what about the susceptible people that are not in nursing homes? There's a lot of people in their 70s
and 80s. Well, then it's up to those people to wear their masks, do their stuff, and maybe not go to work. I get it. But I also think the treatments are getting better. They're sure not 100%. But we're at a point, Matty, where everything is a risk. The question is how much. It's not, you're right, it's not the plague. So when are we reaching, plus we're also reaching a point where we're 40, 50, 60 million people have had it, and we haven't heard boo on TV or radio saying, what about those people? Why are they home? Why are they getting a check? Why are they wearing a mask? Why do they have to be 6 feet apart of somebody? Right?
Well, I mean, you can't, I don't know how you would govern that or how you would.
Well, but you are governing it. You're saying Kenny Pulcheri or Pearl,
just saying everyone do it until we figure out a better way of handling this because you don't know who's had it and who hasn't had it.
Well, we put
you're saying 40 or 50 million people, which might be right, but there certainly weren't 40 or 50 million people that tested positive. We're just assuming based on the 10 times or 20 times the number that we know it is. Well, I don't know if I had it. You don't know if you had it. So, there's no way you can cover
that. I'm saying an awful lot of people
know. If you think you had it, don't wear a mask.
A lot of people have tested positive. Even those people.
Like 4 million people have tested positive.
Right, or it's 4 million.
That's a far from 40 or 50.
Okay.
Even though we know the real number is probably 40 or 50 or maybe higher.
Whenever we give one of these stupid tests, you know how many tests we're giving per day?
In countrywide? The U.S.? I don't know, 100,000?
Take a stab. 800,000.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
And less than, was it less than 4% are positive? Less than 5. So we've got 750,000 people getting up in the morning and going to get a test when they feel fine. I mean, what are we doing?
What's wrong with that?
What do you do when you get the negative test? You'll get back in line next week?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, but what's... Are you saying that they shouldn't do that?
If you feel,
I mean,
fine.
I wouldn't do that. But
well, okay.
Well, who am I to say someone else can't get tested? Who
cares? But how many times are we going to do
this? It's
like
saying a woman shouldn't do a pregnancy test every day. She can do whatever she wants. Who cares?
But I mean, we're paying for it.
What do you mean we're paying for it?
They're free to somebody.
They're not free, are they? I thought you had to do health insurance just like anything else.
I think they're. I'm not. You know, I'm not positive.
I think you have to. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, in some places maybe are doing some sort of socialized version of it, and I don't mind that either. But I think the places on the north side that I know about, you got to have insurance.
But
if you're paying out of pocket.
So you don't. Okay.
I think. I'm not 100% on that.
I'm saying the mentality of that, I can't get. I mean, if I know somebody 8 feet away from me had it, all right, then I'm probably going to get a test because I don't want to give it to anybody else. Okay, that part, that motivation I can get. But our buddy Greg tells me that he has a client in Florida, so she goes to get in line. They take her temperature, get the driver's license out, fill out all these forms. And they said the wait's like 50 or 60 minutes. So she says, screw it, and leaves the line. And 5 days later, she gets a positive test. That she tested positive. She never even tested. But I mean, I said, well, Maddie, with the logic of this here, you have a test that most people say, again, most people, say that the test has a 3 to 5% false positive.
Okay.
So if you have, in the state of New York, they had 50,000 people the other day. Plus, this is another. The only thing I'm arguing here for, Manny, and you can say I'm leaning more right on this, but first of all, there shouldn't be a direction on a disease.
I agree with that, and I we're in complete agreement on that. But for some reason, which I don't understand, which is why I said, like, I feel like I'm very in the middle on this. For some reason, people on the left act like this is like the plague and it's the worst thing that in the history of the world, and people on the right act like it's nothing and it's not, you know,
well, the
no one's died from this and who cares, and it's all,
yeah, I mean,
no one should be wearing masks and blah blah blah. And I'm just thinking, to me, everyone sounds crazy. Why can't we just be sensible? And
I am willing, if I go to the Myers on Sunday morning and there's 15 ladies in there that are 80 years old and it makes them feel better for a while, if I'm wearing a mask, I am more than happy to do it. You know that. Do I think that I'm going to infect them when they have theirs on? No. Do I think it's really necessary? No. But am I willing to do it to make other people feel good for a while? Yes. You know that. You know me better than that. I'm not going to be the one guy bitching at the girl at the front door and making her life miserable because I want to be an ass. You know I would never do that. But there's also what the people on the right sense. And they're not wrong with this. On each side, the fears that each side has are, there's reasons for the fears. What the right sense is this is just another, like you mentioned earlier, you never waste a good crisis. Somehow or another, on the left, it's gone from being the Democrats being union people, middle class people, the group that I was very proud to be part of, to be honest with you, to Paul Simons of the world, those kinds of people. It's got to this thing now where they're going to teach everybody how to think. They're going to rewrite history.
I agree with you on that.
There's this, somehow or another, this is becoming... I
don't want anything to do with that group.
I'm sensing more tyranny coming from the left now than I am from the right. The right always is a little tyrannical.
I sense crazy on both sides,
yeah.
And I don't want to be a part of either of them.
Both of them have become very tyrannical.
I don't know what world we're living in, but it's every day I'm like, this is crazy.
But this... somebody was telling me the biology class that their kids in now, they've been instructed to teach about global warming and something else. They go, well, biology is when you dissect the frog and you learn what's inside of people. Isn't that biology? And what DNA is and all that kind of stuff? No, we don't want to teach that anymore. We're teaching global warming. We're teaching pollution. We're teaching other stuff. And I'm going, oh, evolution, too. What's evolution doing in a biology class?
I think those are all good things that you should learn about.
I do too.
But you should also learn about dissecting a frog.
Yeah. The idea that kids are coming out of, I had a big discussion this weekend with, I mean, the person who comes out of class, school.
Although the frogs probably like this new curriculum.
I probably do too. I didn't realize how much those guys were like humans. God, we had to be 2 feet long. Where do they get those size guys?
I don't know. I love frogs, and cutting them open for science, I guess we've got to do it.
But. Yeah, but, But
the frogs like the new curriculum. We'll just say
is it
that.
Better? Is it worse than frog legs?
Have you ever had frog legs?
No, Audrey likes them though.
I've had them a couple times. They're not that great. They're okay.
I have no interest.
They're kind of like, kind of fishy.
More amphibian because they're not fish.
Yeah. They're. Everyone says they taste like chicken, but they're definitely. You can definitely tell the difference. It's not chicken.
Well, anyway, well, it's just you and me. What are we doing with baseball? Are we doing hockey or the Hawks? Some of our old guys looked pretty sprightly the other day, although what's his name still, after like his 12 surgeries or however many he had, he still can't play, right? The Seabrook?
Yeah, Seabrook's still out, and a lot of people think he may be done for good. And
he had like 4 surgeries, didn't he?
Yeah, he's had a hell of a career. We'll see if he can come back from it at some point.
Tell you what, I was watching those old Hawk games, like the first and second Stanley Cup. I could see why they gave that guy that big of a bonus. He and Keith were pretty much even.
Oh yeah, I mean they were awesome. I mean that's why you win. That's how you win 3 Stanley Cups and make the playoffs every year for that stretch, like they did. When you have the Taves, Kane, and then you throw in like Sharp for part of that, Hossa for part of that, and then certainly Keith and Seabrook were like right on the back end of that. Jalmerson was really good as a defenseman for a while. I mean they were just loaded.
Well, Hossa had to be one of the most fundamentally sound hockey players I ever saw.
He was awesome.
I mean, just the back-checking and the whole bit. He never made a mistake, which is really hard in hockey. I mean, it seems like guys are making a mistake. I can't even imagine playing that game. I mean, so much you got to keep going while you're going so fast and turning around skates. But You think they got a chance? Well, they got a. It's a.
So they play late tonight. So they won 6-4 on Saturday to go up 1-0. It's a best of five play-in series, essentially, for these lower ranked teams to get into the playoffs. And so they play tonight at 9:30 Chicago time, which sucks. But they're at Edmonton. Edmonton's favored. But Blackhawks lead 1-0, so we'll see what happens.
Well, what's Edmonton's the what? The fifth seed, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. And the Blackhawks are the lowest seed.
Yeah.
So there's games all day today because they're trying to get these games, you know, done. These play-in games. So there's hockey beginning at 11 a.m. Central today, and every essentially, you know, 2 hours there's a new game that starts. And the Blackhawks are the very last game of this six-game schedule.
All in the same rink.
I mean.
I think it is.
I thought they had two rinks. I think they have two rinks.
Well, one is out. One's in Toronto.
Yeah, I think so. I think like the Rangers and the Hurricanes play at 11. Then there's another game that starts at 1:30. Then there's a game that starts at 3. So that 3 o'clock game after the 1:30, that can't be at the same rink.
No, it's got to be one. They must be alternating Toronto.
So I think they're staggering these, which is cool. Yeah, so there'll be three games at each one of the rinks, which will be good. A lot of hockey today.
The we should head her off to break here. As soon as I get the still have S&P futures up 15, we'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. He's Mr. Matt Weber. We have S&P futures up 17, NASDAQ futures up 108, Dow futures up 100. That's basically all the information I have here, Manny. So you're going to have to go with sports, heavy weather sports.
I can do that. Looks like we're at 34 minutes past the hour. It's always tougher without the internet these days.
Yes.
We apologize for that. And for those trying to access the live stream, you can't hear us right now. But if you are listening to us on the podcast after the show, we apologize. But the live stream's not working either. 34 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Looks like we're all clear on the Edens and Kennedy. Eisenhower and Stevenson are all quiet, too, as are the Southside expressways. No issues on Lakeshore Drive. Only issue in the area is up in the northern suburbs. Town Line Road, which is Route 60 on the eastbound side at Waukegan Road, way up there, we have a crash that's causing a bit of a slowdown. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds, rain in the forecast, a high of 71, much cooler than it's been. Right now it's overcast and 69 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot with a high of 113 today. Right now it's clear and 89. In sports, both the Cubs and White Sox enjoyed weekend sweeps. The Sox down in Kansas City took care of the Royals again yesterday, winning 9-2 on 14 hits. White Sox are above 500 for the first time all season at 5-4. Cubs are tied for the best record in baseball at 7-2. They swept the Pirates after a rain delay in extra innings, winning 2-1 in 11. With Javier Baez with the big game-winning walk-off single. Diamondbacks were shut out by the Dodgers 3-0 last night. So as we take our Monday morning look at the MLB standings, the White Sox, as I mentioned, are now 5-4. They're in second place in the AL Central, two games behind first place Minnesota. The Cubs are 7-2, first place in the NL Central. They're 2.5 up on Milwaukee, 3 up on Cincinnati and St. Louis. Cardinals are just 2-3, having only played 5 games as they've been shut down for the last few days for a COVID breakout. Meanwhile, Diamondbacks really struggling. They're at 3-7. They've dropped 2 straight and are in last place in the NL West. Lastly, Chief, as we mentioned, the Blackhawks are back in action, leading their series against Edmonton 1-0. They'll play at 9:30 tonight, Chicago time, as they'll take on the Oilers, looking to go up 2-0. Chief.
How are you, Mr. John Flanagan?
Doing fine, Tom. And yourself?
Doing fine, except we have no internet on, like, the 15 different lines we have here. I wonder if they had a power outage in the building or something, but something. We'll have it fixed at some point here. I'm not saying we're fixing it, but we'll do something with it. But, yeah, we were mentioning earlier, and I don't want to be like one of the politicians when Maddie asked me a question, like, what are the solutions? And I think actually right now, John, by the way, I reached a new low. Was out at Audrey's Cousins. Good guy. And I want to get him on the air one of these days to talk about the auto industry. He's been new car owner place and used car owner place forever. And, he's had issues with trying to quit smoking, right? Which a lot of people have. So as much as I think it's a disgusting habit, I'll tell you what, anybody I've ever known who smoked, no matter how much willpower they had, it seems like one of the hardest things they ever did was to stop. So that's one thing I never give anybody any grief about, because it's obviously very difficult. out of all the crap we read about the virus, he pops up one that I read that if you smoke, it's better. You did what? Where did you find that?
I'd like to read the scholarly papers on that.
Yeah, so I go, Eddie, you gotta at least admit to me that if you want, whatever side you're on in this thing, you can find an article that supports it. He goes, well, that's for sure. But But Manny asked me earlier what, you know, and I dodged the question like a politician, which I shouldn't. Manny, what I actually think has to happen is somebody, I don't know if Trump's capable, somebody needs to actually print up a piece of paper. You know, it's 1,000 words or less. We say, here's what we know so far. We know this thing is contagious as hell. We don't necessarily know if it's all... By the way, I don't know if you I sent it to you, John. I don't know if you read it, that nobody wants to get on a subway or train.
Right. And yet, I read that.
And yet the studies in Japan and Europe where the people that are on the subways and trains, they have not seen...
No outbreaks traceable to those.
Yeah, no outbreaks traceable. Now, I think most people are wearing masks and there's not as many people. So I don't think it's an Archer bus of the 60s. You're basically right in everybody else's face. But still, I mean, it's not like... This is what I'm kind of looking for, man. I want before Lori Lightfoot sees five people hanging on the lakefront and wants to arrest them. I want somebody to say, we know for sure that if you walk by somebody at a lakefront, you're liable to infect them. Not somebody's stupid opinion, not somebody, look how close they're getting. I mean, I actually want something behind everything we do.
Natachi writes in, Chief, does the fact that 3/4 of all recovered coronavirus patients exhibit heart damage change your just open everything no matter what calculus? Even healthy young people are exhibiting heart damage,
you know,
whether or not
I'm
going to
say that's the 3/4 on that, that's total bull. That's somebody who has how do you know if somebody has heart damage 5 years later when it's a month later? I'm just saying. I mean, those are numbers that are designed to make people afraid. I mean, have you read any kind of study that where guys like Kenny Pulcheri, Pearl, the people I know that have had it, Salvador's, all his in-laws, where they've taken every single one of those people in, given them stress tests, given them whatever you got to do to check people's hearts out and find out if there's any damage? I don't know one person that's going in for a test like that. Do you?
No, and I think one of the difficulties is, unless you're being tracked for a heart condition, I don't know that, and I'm not a specialist in this by any means, but it would seem to be difficult to say that any heart damage visible to a physician is traceable to some recent condition. I don't know. I mean, I know enough people in my family who had heart conditions in childhood and sort of learned to live with them, and I'm sure they would exhibit, you know, maybe worsening conditions in the case of a respiratory problem like this, but I don't know if you can say that it stems from this or that the deterioration is because of the disease. I think that's a stretch.
Well, I mean, these are the things, like the immortal words of, she cleaned it up, you know, Aaron Burnett, you know, opinions are like bottoms. Everybody's got one and they all stink. I mean, I have the same attitude toward this I do towards economics. You know, the lady who has the new, we don't care about no stinking deficits. Okay, show me one spot in history that worked out so well. I mean, if there's 3 or 4 places, knock yourself out. I mean, that was the most interesting part of, you know, Milton Friedman, when he would give a lecture or say something, he would say, here's a society in, you know, upper India or someplace, and they would trace their money supply, they'd trace their currencies, they'd do some stuff for 2-3 years, they'd find a place that, instead of expanding their money supply, dropped the money supply, and here's what happened. Prices went down. In some cases, your national income actually went up. Progress was made. Society or the economy was expanding. Some it wasn't. But you need to prove whatever you do. And now we've totally lost that. I mean, we clearly have a president that lobs stuff out that he doesn't check at all. But he's not the first. He's just part of the group. All I'm saying is these things have to be, they have to be somewhat proven. And there's always another side. I think what has to happen here, honestly, is somebody's got to say, look, we know who's very dangerous on this. I've read stuff that says for people over the age of 80, it's like 30 times worse than the regular flu. If for kids under the age of 6, it's 1/5 as bad as a regular flu. Why this thing attacks the hell out of people that are older, I don't know. But why did the one in 1919 attack people between 25 and 40 who normally are the healthiest? It just did, okay? But these are no rhyme or reason to it. But somebody has to say, now look it, by October 1st, unless something dramatically changes, we're all going to be back to somewhat normal, okay? Or pick a date. Maybe it's November 1st. And toward that end, we're going to have communities that have not much of a problem. I'd like them to go back to school normally. Lunches, the whole bit. We're going to have availability for testing. Somebody gets sick, we're going to make sure if they get it, they stay home. Something, something. Because we have to have some kind of a way to figure out whether this is working versus that's working. In areas where there's a problem, then we're going to do the 2 days a week, half a day, and see how they do. If we don't do something in all these different places, how are we going to compare one to the other? Whenever all you've got is people's opinions. And we're going to say, and the thing that is really bothering the living bleep out of me is everybody who wants to stay home, it's become a class warfare thing. I mean, I think you got to agree with me on this. When the people say, no, we have to, I'm the one guy that really pissed me off as a professor from Duke. Well, you know, until we can guarantee 100%, you know, we have to stay home and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, the guy's getting a professor's check. But still, the Amazon thing's supposed to show up at the door. This whole idea of this underclass that we call necessary things mean people that are serving me. They're making sure the toilet paper's at the Costco. They're making sure the meat's in the store. They're making sure I get my Amazon. They're making sure I get my mail. I mean, the idea to me of having—I assume this is happening. I don't absolutely sure. The idea of having the postal worker walking down the block like nothing ever happened, and the people in Washington working from home getting paid—that frosts me. That's sort of like an army where all the big time guys, you know, stay in the U.S. and they send all the privates over to Europe to fight. I mean,
You're exactly right, Tom. The notion that there's some, you know, risk that's too great for me to assume. But it isn't too great for the people who supply things I need to have a comfortable life at home while I still collect a paycheck from not doing anything. It's just a world gone completely nuts. And that can't be something we get complacent about, because once you start thinking about that as the way things should be or the way they have to be, and you institutionalize people sitting at home, or doing less work for the same amount of money as the teachers seem to be pushing for, then we've got long-term stagnation in every direction. You're going to see all this start to really cause tremendous anger between people who are forced to do what other people deem too dangerous for me to do. And once that becomes the way people lock horns, you're going to have a situation where nothing's going to get done. Nobody's going to work.
Well, and before you, John, on the show, we had somebody. Was it Kathy that got the guy from the? Where do we ever find that? I don't think anyone wants to come back on, because it was the first time, really probably the only time that I got really, really nasty emails. And people were after my head. He was the head of the Chicago Public Schools Pension Fund. And
yeah, Fred Klonsky, I believe is his name.
Yeah, I didn't really butt heads that much with him, John. I was actually pretty nice, but. You know, I just said, well, at some point the numbers, you know, if people leave the state and so forth, the numbers don't necessarily match. I mean, you got less and less people paying for more and more, and you know, we have to be careful it doesn't get there. And he's like, but the attitude clearly is the people who are paying the taxes are all lying to us. They all have enough money. At the end of the day, if there's 50 people left, they need to be paying, they just got to tax them enough to where they're paying pensions for like a million. I'm going, that math is interesting. But, that's the attitude, John. I mean, there's no, always just tax more. And we'll cover this nut that other people think they feel they deserve. And I just think that people being people, there is gonna be a clash of people who are that have no idea, they're never gonna get a pension anywhere, paying for other people to sit on the couch at age 55. There's a tension there. And there ought to be. I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong. I'm just saying there is a tension there. That's one thing an economist can say, a behavioral economist. People are going to be pissed off with the person that they're paying to sit home when they don't have their own pension.
And the problem in Illinois is that doesn't translate to any kind of political pressure, because the unions have the leadership, you know, of the Democratic Party so locked up that there's no way this is going to turn into any kind of a political struggle. It will just be a football that's bandied around in, you know, conversations or in bar rooms or whatever, but it will never be taken seriously enough to actually put something into place that would even out the unfairness of that. And it's the price you pay for having a badly run state, a badly run political management doesn't look at the long picture, but only looks at their short-term interests of getting reelected and the people underneath them getting reelected. And the, you know, the prospects for Illinois, even without the pandemic, were brutal. But you add
right.
this to it, and the anger that's simmering, and the fury that this is going to result in, you're going to be looking at a state that, you know, is going to be, you know, worse than any third world country when it comes to trying to keep services going for the people who are left holding the bag here. I hope I'm not one of them, but I think everybody must feel that way, and somebody's going to be left holding the bag. So,
well, but you have to, how does this political power flow? Okay, I mean, and the what I say is, we have a mayor, and I it's not like I beat up on her as a person. I don't know her; she's probably fine. But we have somebody who, in my mind, got 90,000 votes. And then she got more, obviously, in the runoff. But a person who gets 90,000 votes has no more business being mayor of the city of Chicago than I do being a jockey. Just saying. I mean, we have not. Somehow or another, now we know what we need. We need an amendment to the Constitution to where some of the, because it's been interpreted by the courts, that even if you scam the pension, if in anybody's common sense you were owed 80 grand and somehow somebody gave you double your last week's pay and you're making 170, and the formula is supposed to be 80% or whatever of your salary, and now it's like double that. We can't even fix that. We can't even fix obvious fraud, which I don't think anyone thinks that was who wrote the Constitution thought that was okay. But say it is. So now, whenever there's an amendment, which we had election, which is what 10 years ago now, maybe, and is there another one for like another 10? Is it every 20 years, Jen? We have to see whether we have another constitutional convention.
I think so.
If there's an amendment, the reason why is we have the employee unions. They're going to show up with 500,000 votes or 400,000 or some number. And the rest of the people's dead ass is on the sofa. And when 25% of the people votes, you can't jump over that number. It's not like we couldn't, or it's not like, you couldn't get 5 million other people pissed off enough to go out and say, okay, there's your 400,000, here's 500, here's 5 million to trump your ass. We just don't. And then we complain about it. I mean, The best political interviews I've heard in ages. Somebody got these two dudes from one guy was way righter than you, Jan. You look like a weenie next to this guy. He was way right, and then the other one was it Evan Bay from the, and both of them were absolutely pissed off about what the extreme right was doing, what the extreme left was doing, and finally I think the Republican guy says, you know, the middle class better get their wallets out and put their big boy pads on and start voting and take this country back. If they don't, if they just go quietly, we're going to have the two ends of the barbell fighting over stuff that nobody wants. And you know what? I don't think I've heard a better statement ever.
Yeah. Well, the thing that kind of disturbs me, and I don't know enough about the ins and outs of this with the state constitution to explain it, but there have been tweaks to the pension system here, even since I joined it back in the early 90s, where, you know, the eligibility age to receive an annuity was raised. It became a two-tiered system, depending on when you entered, you know, started paying into it, whether you would receive benefits at, you know, 62 or 55 or whatever. All this was fiddled around with, so the people who came into my pension fund, SERS, the State University Retirement Systems, after 2008, wait longer to start collecting benefits. And there was a change even earlier that, you know, you had the option to either opt for a defined benefits program where you get an annuity upon retirement, or a self-managed plan where you get a block of cash and you could do whatever you wanted with it. So to me, those represent huge, you know, differences in the way the pension maybe was at first envisioned and the way it's been conducted. Why can't they do something even more radical?
No,
and not
the
violation of the Constitution.
The Constitution, and I've read a bunch of times. I could find it, but I don't have the internet. It says you cannot the pension of anybody cannot be
impaired or whatever.
Cannot be diminished.
Diminished. Right.
So it's been led to read. What was the one where if you gave somebody, Maddie, what the hell did I say? It was a game all these little suburbs played. But here's kind of the issue with that. In defense of Chicago, which, you know, I never normally want to do, Chicago funds, or doesn't fund, all their own pensions. And yet the people of Chicago also pay into the rest of the state's pensions, which pretty much sucks. So, like, if you're Evergreen Park or Oak Lawn, you contribute to the state pool. And whenever somebody gets what they're getting, that comes out of the state pool. So if Illinois or Oak Lawn, what they were doing, I'm not pinning us Oak Lawn, if you gave somebody, Jen, I think if it was, you gave somebody an 800-hour bonus their last month, like 200 a week, you gave them a bonus for God knows what. You gave them a bonus, it ended up being like, something like, 10 grand a year or 8 grand a year on their pension.
Oh, it was huge, and that was addressed in the reforms back in 2008, because people, you know, the double dipping just, people could immediately go right back into the fund, and they'd already had it kicked up, you know, in a previous job, so they were just making fantastic sums of money.
Well, or you're even taking your sick time or doing overtime your last year, that kind of thing. But I mean, the point is, once you played the game, so what they do with Mayor Daley? They gave him one more, because he had worked for he was a state's attorney.
Four
right?
pensions, I think, didn't he? I mean,
but he was a state's attorney.
Somehow or another, legislator.
Yeah, but somehow or another, after he left the mayor's spot, and I like the guy and we're sort of friends. I think did they have to put him on the state payroll like one more day or two more days, and it upped his pension 40 grand a year or something?
Yeah.
I mean,
all these things have these amazing tripwires. Yeah. Where you have to do very little work in some new fund, in some new job you know nothing about, and having that one day of you know, working in that position entitles you to an annuity.
Well, you know what I think did change, Jen, and I don't know how they got away with this. But say you were on the board of Oak Lawn and you gave your buddy a big bonus the last month, and it went down to, so now the state's paying it, not Oak Lawn, right? So it's no skin off their behind. I think what the state did, if it became so egregious, they sent the extra saying, look, this guy's making 80 grand a year more than he should. We're not paying. We're not saying you diminish it, but now Oak Lawn's got to pay it.
Right. That's built into since I think 2008.
Yeah.
And it's within so many years of your retirement. Like, if you have an increase in your compensation within, you know, the 5 years before you retire, above a certain percentage, and I can't remember what the exact percentage is, that goes back to the district or the, you know, the group you're working for, that they're on the hook for that forever. You know, so that becomes a real disincentive to jack up these salaries at the very end. That was a good thing. It should have been done a long time ago.
Well, but a lot of the local places are accepting it.
Well, and they just, you know, they've passed it on to their tax levies and everything else.
Yeah.
It's not their money, so they're.
What they should do is
that's the problem too.
What they should do is hit the four commissioners up for 20 grand a year for a buddy. Well, that'd stop it, wouldn't it? What you think, John? Are you with us? I think you're not.
I think we lost John. I'll get him back.
All right. But this is having the ability, Manny. What I don't want to see happen is this to go crazed even more than it is. And when you start listening to, when you're a leader of any sort, to the extent that I ever was, I was committee chairman of a bunch of committees at CBOE, so that doesn't exactly put me on par as a governor or president. But when you have people at the table, everybody has their role. So you ask the scientists, you ask Fauci, okay, what's liable to happen here? And he's going to say, because of the fact that in this country, this thing was never containable, it got out so much, if we don't keep everybody locked in their house in New York, Chicago, any place, a place that's untouched in northern Minnesota, somebody's going to go for a vacation up there, and pretty soon they're going to have a problem up there. Okay, absolutely correct, all right? Now, what does that mean? Does that mean everybody has to stay, or do you let the people know up there that you're liable to get a case or two, by the way, have the ability to test, and can we lock down a whole place because of that? When we have places like New York, Chicago, that have been through it, and all of a sudden now their numbers, even though Illinois is going up, the places here that had it are not going up. So you don't get that information either. There's new hot spots, and there's going to continue to be new hot spots. Does somebody get to the point where they say, wherever they happen, as long as there's hospital spaces and as long as we're working on various treatments, which I think are getting better, we're going to have to make a move here. And if we get something along the line of a flu shot, then we haven't walked down the road, Maddie. We haven't even gone down the road now. Are these things going to be mandatory? If you don't, is it going to get to the point where if you don't get one of these shots, you can't come out of your house? I mean, is that the next fight here? I think it is. And what if the shots get people sick?
No more. That whole thing's going to be interesting.
Well, Armin, are you going to get a shot?
I've never gotten a flu shot before, so I don't even. I mean, I.
You'd make a great great politician. Is that what I asked you?
I know, but my point is like I don't have any interest in getting this shot.
So the answer
certainly
would
not
be
to
no.
be the first wave, but yeah. I also am not against it. I mean, if enough people said it worked for them and they had no issue with it, then I got no problem going and getting it.
Mikey will try anything. Let Mikey try it. Remember that commercial? That what you're saying? As long as the chief didn't croak for that thing, all right, I'll go. Chief, get in there. Get that. Take that shot. Take a double dose.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Who's going to go? Are you going to make your wife go first?
No, I'm not going to make anyone go first, but I know there's going to be tons of people that can't wait that will be standing in line to volunteer to go first that love this sort of thing. And, you know, if it seems to work and there's no side effects, then I got no problem doing it. I'm not against it fundamentally. I just know that flu shots work 80% of the time, maybe. And maybe less than
I'll
that.
I'll take the under on that.
Yeah, whatever the number is, 50% of the time, whatever it is. And I've never gotten the flu and I've never had the shot, so I've never felt the need to do it.
So if enough other people take it, who are you going to get it from?
Right, that's another good point. But that being said, if this is considered, you know, 5 times, 10 times, 20 times worse than the flu, whatever the number is, and people take it and it works, then I got no problem taking it.
It is more contagious. For most people, it's no worse. Therein lies the rub. For some people, it's a lot worse. But the flu, for a lot of people, is a lot worse. So, I mean, the social changes we're making and then the inroads that people are trying to make with S&P futures, we're still up 17. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, Mr. Jan Flanagan with us. I'm just seeing on the boob tube here is that Lilly is starting a, they've got this mobile research fleet. Now, you know these big companies have got in here for massive amounts of cash, and I'd love to do an audit on that. Probably put my life in danger. They come after me with bazookas, but anyways, so let me get this straight. I'm not executive at Lilly, unfortunately. Jan, when you have some kind of a test, all right, and you have a bunch of people say that have some disease, and you give half people the serum, for lack of a better term, and half the double, you know, you do the double blind, you give them a placebo, you can certainly tell if one works versus the placebo. Now, answer me this, Lucy. How the hell, if I'm going to nursing homes, which hopefully have been tied down anyway, so where there's no COVID there, and I start giving this thing to people in the nursing homes, what am I going to do? I'm going to give it to half of them and then introduce COVID to find out if it works? How do I learn anything there?
It will just undo everything they've been trying to accomplish.
I hearken back to the polio days. They did a double blind, right? But I think they just let people out in society, right? It wasn't like they vaccinated half the people, the other people they gave a placebo to, and then they sprinkled polio dust on their head, right? And if you've got the nursing home COVID free to start with, how do you find out anything by giving people in the nursing home the antibody treatment? I suspect if you took blood samples afterward, you could find out if they built up antibodies to it. I'm thinking that's what they're thinking, right?
I wonder if we lost John.
I think we lost John again.
I think, well, we're trying to get the internet fixed, and I think when we're resetting the different systems, it's cutting the phone lines briefly.
Well, you mean when you pull the plug out of the whole office goes out kind of thing?
Even though supposedly these are supposed to be not the same. AT&T is a separate line, yet it's been affected. So I don't know. There's something that's tying this stuff together that we don't know about.
As you go through life, Manny, every year, don't you seem like you're more aware things that weren't supposed to be like that become like that?
Right.
See, how come this isn't supposed to be together, yet it looks like they're the same plug. Anyway, I think what they're trying to do, Matty, is they're trying to find out if people in the nursing homes build antibody resistance. They don't necessarily want to, shove some COVID in there and give it to them, right? I don't think that would be a good idea.
That would not be a good idea.
Well, let's really hope that some of this works. Now, if it does, I don't think having to take a booster shot every year is a big deal. You do have to do it for the flu anyway.
No, I don't think it's a big deal. If it works, no, not a problem.
But now the question is, if the numbers are, well, I won't say from the right, but some of the numbers that we've seen, if the death rate all in is 0.5%, which it looks like it might be, okay, which is roughly three times worse than like one of the worst flus, probably five times worse than a regular flu, which is a lot. I mean, it's a huge lot. I mean, 160,000 people is not a number to sneeze at. Even if one of them died in a motorcycle crash, right? But even if those are the numbers, how many people are you going to have to, just doing the math, how many people are you going to have to give the vaccine to, and how good does it have to be to cut that number in half? I mean, it's going to have to be real good. And an awful lot of people are going to have to take it, and the right people are going to have to take it. I hope by the time this is over, or we have something out there, that everybody who feels like they're in a class, like Natachi wrote in earlier, talking about people with some heart issues, anybody who feels they're in a, we've learned enough about this thing to figure out the people that are in the most danger. People are older, people have diabetes, any kind of sugar problems, high blood pressure problems. Obviously, those people we'd want to be first in line. So you would hope that at least those people take it. I don't know if you're ever going to get, some groups here are going to say, you can't get on the bus unless you took the thing. I know this is where this is going, Maddie, and we're going to end up having a huge fight about this. But I'm saying, just normally, the people who feel they need it, take it. The people who don't. I mean, do what you want to do. But as long as I feel I'm defended, I really don't care what happens to you. I mean, it's a horrible thing to say, but I know that the left is...
Well, obviously, with smallpox, that's not the idea. That's not the... everyone's got to take it for the greater good.
Right.
This is obviously not that. I don't know what this is. It's not the flu either. It's worse than that.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's going to be the next hot button issue. There's no doubt about it.
And who's going to win that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's something that can be won or lost.
Well, I mean, there's going to be laws. And some states are going to go one way, some another. This whole thing is, I honestly believe, and I know that this is, Jan, we're talking about the next fight is going to be whether it's mandatory to take the vaccine, even if it may not work that well, hopefully it does. But now, the question comes down, do you have to? I mean, I look at these people with, let's look at the fight over to vaccinating kids, okay? Now, I don't see how...
Which to me seems insane.
What, the fight?
The idea that you wouldn't give vaccines to your kids that have worked for 70 years. like, that's insane.
Okay.
We're trying to bring measles back?
I'm not trying to bring measles back.
Well, that's what that fight is.
Okay, but there's... I won't say if, when there's a little Maddie or a little Jill. By the way, how's Vancouver going to react to the first baby?
Good question. All dogs handle these things differently, I've learned.
Yeah, but he's your son.
I think he'll be fine, but we'll see.
He's not a dog anymore. He's morphed into a human, he thinks.
He turns three this week, believe it or not.
Yeah, so anyway, so when you get, when you have this increase in stuff like autism, all right, and people say they think it's because of the vaccines. Now, I don't think they have a whole lot of science on their side. But when some Fauci-like guy pontificates that that's absolutely not the reason, I'm going to say, being a guy in the middle, and Maddie thinks I'm not, I'm going to say, Fauci, or whoever the hell you are, until you can tell me what causes it, don't be so sure to tell me what doesn't. That's my logic there.
Well, that's a very good position, and I've read enough and seen enough about the debate to conclude that the medical industry really doesn't have a leg to stand on in denying there's a connection. I'm not saying it's an ironclad one. I don't say that all autism is due to vaccines, but I think there's enough evidence that there's some connection. Just because of the timing of so many cases that I've read about, and in documentaries that have been dropped from Netflix and Amazon, they refuse to show them. I'm always, concerned when there's been any attempt to block something, especially when it involves the medical industry. And I think that there's so much power there that they can do that. They can prevent bad publicity from getting out there, and they can, make it look like these are flat Earth people who are making this connection, and I think it's anything but that. I think it's pretty credible. And as you say, until they can find a better explanation for it, I don't think you're going to see a lot of people flocking to get vaccines. There will be some people who will, if this is a condition of getting their job back or, you know, getting, you know, a job of some kind, and other people who aren't concerned about the medical risks. But I think there is a growing corner of the population that is highly suspicious of this and will not take the government up on this, and I am with them on that.
Well, but things morph, Matty, and I'm more on your side on this than I am the other. But how do you go from having a measles vaccine or these other vaccines? You know, Greg tells me, and he's got, his kids aren't young anymore, but they obviously were at one time, and I don't have any kids. He goes, I went to the doctor when the kids were real young, and the guy pulls out this thing, and he goes, I'm giving them, like, their shots. And he goes, what do you mean? Like, their shots. Well, I'm giving them two shots, and there's, like, three vaccines in each one. And I fortunately, knock on wood, I've had a relatively very healthy life. I've had issues a couple times. Every single time some doctor gave me some drug, and I'm a big guy, so they like to give me everything. You know, here, this one will hurt you a bit, and I'll call back. Wait a minute. What do you mean? I've had a reaction to, like, so I'm an absolute minimalist when it comes to drugs. I mean, if you know when you got to go to Z-Pack, if you got a cold that goes to your lungs, it won't go away. I mean, there's stuff you know you have to do, okay? But by and large, the thought of taking six vaccines in one shot, I would never do that. Why would I do that? You know, we had a couple of puppies. When you go for your puppy shots, don't you go one a week for 4 weeks? The vet doesn't short-circuit it and stick the poor guy four times and throw them all in there once and hope it works out okay.
What?
No,
right.
And that's one of the problems with the, you know, the three, the rubella and the, you know, the three-tiered vaccine that they've been giving, you know, for years to kids. Some of these kids, I think, are just way too young to be giving something that strong, and that could be connected to the autism outbreak too.
Well, my mom,
but I agree that this is not something that, you know, you could just, you know, bounce back from in a lot of cases. And I think people who have, you know, just what for whatever reason are soured on the way this whole thing has been handled from day one are not going to be too excited or thrilled to get in line to take a vaccine that is too early, I think, in my estimation, to be proven to be of any value. And I think there's still so much not known about the disease and its seriousness that I am not going to be in line to get any vaccine.
Well, my mom was, she's been gone for a while, but I don't know what the hell she did to herself, but she may have cut her hand or something. It wasn't serious, but it was kind of a metal thing. So, of course, in the emergency room, they said, well, you got to get a tetanus shot. You haven't worn it in 20 years. And she goes, okay. And they, you know, she's not afraid of needles. They plunked the tetanus shot. So I go see her an hour later, take her to breakfast. I go, man, what happened to your head? It's about twice the size as it ought to be. I know, what do I? You know how moms are. But, of course, I couldn't resist giving her grief because her head was, like, twice the size. Well, it turns out that when she was a kid and they gave her, like, her first diphtheria shot, she had a violent reaction to it. It turns out now that all tetanus shots, I mean, this is going back a ways, have tetanus, whooping cough, and diphtheria. Well, they never told her that. They said it was a tetanus shot. If she'd have said, well, by the way, it's diphtheria, she said, wait a minute. I had a reaction to that like 60 years ago. Leave that part out, you know. And they didn't. I mean, she ended up being okay. They put her on some antihistamines or something, and her head went back to normal. But you know, I had to stop giving her grief. But, I mean, why would you ever give somebody three in a row and say, we're not sure if they work together or they, in one person, they might have a problem together? Why would you even take that chance, Jen? And I wouldn't. You don't do
no,
it.
I've been very reluctant to get flu shots in the last, you know, 10 years or so. And I got grief from my physician the last time I declined it. And it, for the first time, and he's a very mellow guy, and I respect him, and I, you know, take his advice. But about this, I thought, it's a crapshoot. They tell you it's a crapshoot. They don't know what strain is going to be paramount. They don't know if this is the vaccine for that strain or not yet anyway. And for the first time, I got real blowback from him last fall for not taking a flu shot. And the whole, you know, tenor of the visit changed dramatically. And I felt for the first time like I was being forced to do this. And that really bothered me. I don't like being forced to
do
anything.
Well, they've bought into the story that even if they miss the flu, you're better off than not at all. If instead of getting 100%, you're going to get 80% debt.
Right.
I don't know if I buy that at all. I mean, if they miss the strain, they miss the strain, I think. But
you can follow us on Twitter at Stocks the Letter N Jocks. David writes in, sorry, Chief, childhood vaccines explicitly list autism as a risk in their packaging inserts. It's a manufacturing contamination issue, not the science of the vaccine itself. So rapid production of hundreds of millions of vaccines is a known risk.
Right. It's right, right. That's why we have listeners that help out. Like I said, I don't have any. It does list that as a risk. Now, what does that even mean? It's a risk. What does that mean?
He's saying the mass production of it somehow creates this risk as a possible side effect.
So we're talking contamination?
Not the vaccine itself. I don't know anything about this. I just know that I don't think it's a good idea to not vaccine your kids because I think it's a good idea to bring measles and smallpox back and things like that.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm sure there clearly is some sort of risk. There's a risk to everything, probably.
I'll tell you this, Manny. Having had them, if I had a choice between measles for a week and autism, I'm taking the measles every time.
Well, I agree with that, too. But I don't know what the percentage is of getting an autism versus a measles outbreak across, you know, the world or something.
Well, you can have measles in a 50s household where everybody's warm, mom's making soup. You don't want it on a military base. You didn't want it in a trench. Sure as hell didn't want it in a Civil War camp where it was one of those deadly things that would kill more people. Not want to say more, but it was kind of up there with the fighting. Right, Jen? You absolutely do not want a measles outbreak in Africa or any place like that. But for us, although, which isn't to say, Jen, I gotta believe that somewhere in St. John Fisher, which is our parish or yours, some kid had a bad reaction. I can't be everybody just sailed through it.
And there's no way unless you knew the person personally, you weren't gonna know about it.
No internet.
What about polio?
Whatever your doctor knew or didn't know about it, it would be hard to trace it to that cause anyway. So.
Polio is by...
Should we let polio come back?
Oh, God, no. You do not want polio coming back. I mean, that's, people in iron lungs, oh, Jesus, I can't even imagine. I don't know if there's a worse disease that you didn't die from. What do you think, Jen?
No, I can't think of it. I mean, a lifelong sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, TB, some people could cope with it and live... And otherwise, they were ambulatory. They could get up and get around and everything. Not polio.
Well, look what happened to President Roosevelt. I mean, he was, right. He was what, in his mid-30s? He was,
yeah.
He was, the thing about him that was decent, such a thing, is he was strong as a bull. He was in tip-top shape. Then the night he got it, didn't he, swim from Martha's Vineyard to some other island or something?
Yeah, it was in Campobello or Bay of Fundy or whatever, cold water.
You get out of the water.
Right.
Felt a chill on Friday night, and by Sunday he was paralyzed. Man, can you imagine that? I mean, he was your age.
That's crazy.
He was your age.
I think he was 38, maybe. I think
1921
or something. I think he's closer to 40 than the 30, which would even be more likely to knock him out of the pool of people that were at risk. But, yeah, that was an outlying case. Not unheard of, but, it was... That was not the profile of the time.
Usually you were a lot younger.
Kevin writes in, if a COVID-19 vax works like a flu shot, some recipients will get a mild case from it. I think that's the last thing we want to give to at-risk people, especially the elderly. Some experience with lower-risk people seems prudent before giving it to at-risk groups. I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is, do you give somebody... What you're trying to do, for those that don't, and this is just very, very basic, it's not Dr. Chief by any stretch... a flu shot is not a vaccine. A vaccine,
definitely not,
because it goes right to the cells and makes they don't let the thing in somehow or another. I don't know how the hell they do that, but the if you get a flu or a cold, your body has antibodies for it. That probably for a couple of years or many more than that, who the hell knows? You're not going to get the exact same cold, right, John, or exact same flu?
Right. And supposedly.
So. Your body has antibodies. So when you get the flu shot, you say, okay, this is flu AB1-4 coming out of Brazil. So what we're going to do is we introduce a slight, either dead or not dead, essentially a virus like that into your body. Hopefully it's dead, but your body picks up on it as if it's live, and you essentially create the antibodies before you get it. So your body's ready for when the live thing hits you from the guy down the block, that you're playing poker with, all of a sudden now your body already is 4 days into it and it recognizes this as a, as an intruder, and it either knocks it out without you knowing much, or you have a much lighter case. Isn't that the theory, Jen?
Yeah.
And it works pretty well. You know, when if they hit it right on, they hit it right on. So with this particular one, they're trying to find, that's why, and you don't hear anything about this, one of the ways that even in 1919 they solved some of the problems is a guy like Kenny Polcari, who's blasting antibodies because he had it, and he's a healthy guy, and he's given blood now twice. Now, from what I understand, they can take the plasma, and is it enough for, is it four people, Jen, or five? Is it enough for one?
I think if I heard four or five, yeah.
And so Kenny's going to give two of the blasts of plasma to his parents. And I'm lobbying for one of the, for the third one, because nobody else wants it. I'll take it. He's a Paisan, it's Italian plasma, and it's, I'm half Italian, it'll work fine, you know? What can I say? But why wouldn't you, Jen? I mean,
right.
So I mean, but we know that that works, and yet I don't see any, we don't want that to work. We want Lilly and Merck to make $90 bazillion of government money. I'm not saying we can cover the whole base with the plasma. We're not doing anything with it, Jen, that I know of.
I mean, no, and the thing has been politicized now in such a way that until there's a vaccine, you've got people pushing for no reopening of the economy or the schools or anything else. And, of course, there won't be just one vaccine. There will be many vaccines, and they'll all be competing against each other. And depending on which vaccine a particular employer or your group goes with, is going to create tension, or people aren't going to get it, and they're going to wait for a better vaccine. So I think tying a vaccine in any shape or form to any kind of reopening is completely ridiculous. And yet that seems to be, you know, serious people are saying this. You know, until we have this, we can't have face-to-face education anymore. We can't have people riding mass transit until there's a vaccine. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, that doesn't mean there's going to be only one vaccine, and people aren't going to be getting any vaccines either. So that, what does that do for tying a reopening of the economy to such a far-off event? I think that's just insane. We'll never have a reopening at that rate.
Jen, do you happen to have your computer open?
Do I? Yes.
Maybe you could do us a favor. Can you dig out that article that I sent you regarding this Kodak thing? May, did you get a chance to read this?
Sure. No, I don't think so.
The announcement was last Tuesday that they're going to get this big contract to come up with, what, some chemicals or something for the... So the stock was trading two. They were just about going to go out of business. And on Monday, the day before, the board granted the CEO how many million stock options at like $2, and 2 days later, it was 60. And they gave them, they, a couple of the other guys gave themselves options too. So as the CEO is negotiating with the Trump administration, this didn't even go through Congress. The Trump administration basically gave...
Yeah, the handshake deal.
It's a handshake deal. How the hell does the shareholders of Kodak not throw all those people out? Was the guy made, what, $100 million in 2 days? Or seven?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but this happened on a Monday, and on Tuesday, they claimed it had nothing to do with this. Jen, how stupid do people think we are to believe that crap?
I mean, that's insane.
But, man, this goes on. I mean, in the midst of all this is happening, the amount of stealing, do you think there's ever going to be a front-running trade on any one of these people that are getting these, with the people in Congress trade? This is obscene. If you had somebody in a law enforcement group and was different than Barr, had anybody who cared about any of this stuff, just think of the people you could throw in jail for front-running right now.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
But I mean, this is... We have turned our place into anarchy. Why? Who's doing it? Is there somebody behind it? You know, don't tell me Soros, because I don't know if he has enough smarts to do something like that. I mean, I had two people almost clip me on the Stevenson Friday or Saturday night calling out to Audrey's. They had to be doing 110. I mean, are we total anarchy now? Everywhere? The thought of one of these guys getting nailed by this administration for front-running one of these things out of these deals, or somebody in Congress not participating in some committee where they know they're going to give this massive deal to one of these places. Jen, are all bets off? Are we absolute anarchy? You and I should go out and start stealing stuff, or just to keep even, or what?
Well, the business thing is kind of the way business is done elsewhere in the world. This is, these kind of handshake deals with Kodak, this is what, has been happening elsewhere for a long time. And it's one of the things that's put the U.S. at a disadvantage when it comes to trade policy, because that isn't supposed to be how things happen here. But it is how you get, preferential treatment, and you get monopolies, and you get assistance that the average person can't hope to get, but because of personal relationship or whatever, just a friendship, you've got yourself first in line for a government contract. And it's appalling when you look at it from a competitive standpoint, and especially in times like this when everything is, everybody would like a piece of that, certainly.
Janner's, I don't know, and I don't want to be dogmatic on this, but somehow or another, when you have chaos, I'm going to say that board, if it was 3 years ago, before this crap happened, nobody, no matter how big of a sleazebag you are, nobody on that board could vote this for a guy on a Monday when they knew this was coming down on a Tuesday and get away with it. But now they realize it is one drop of water in a fire hydrant we're all drinking from. Everybody's going to forget it in a week, and who cares? That to me is what's going down here. Do you disagree or not?
No, I suspect that's true, and I suspect that will be the norm, and maybe it already has been the norm in a lot of.
John, thank you very much. Troubled times here this morning without an internet, but thank you for calling in. Maybe we'll get you later in a week. We can actually talk about something I can read about. We should have David Adelman in a second.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona. Is your business being challenged by the
stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks?
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Play Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howes, Mr. Weber on the board. Mr. David Edelman with us in a second, which I hope he can give us what's going on in the rest of the world. I have Dow up 125, and I've got the NASDAQ up 96, and the S&P's up 22. David, what's going on around the rest of the place since all our systems are down?
Asia was mixed, real mixed. I mean, you had down 3.5% in the Philippines and up 2.8% in Vietnam, 2.9% in Vietnam. Shanghai was up. Nikkei was up. Hong Kong was down. Europe was up across the board, up as little as a tenth to up 2.1% in Germany, despite some bad bank warnings and bad quarterly results from HSBC.
Bad bank warnings, more money.
Yeah. Right. The Chinese figures were decent, and Germany and the euro, M-A-R-K-I-T, Markit, manufacturing indexes were actually pretty good.
Well, the trillions of dollars are spent in every 3 weeks. I guess it's going someplace, huh?
All right.
Manny, what do you got?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're looking good, Chief, on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Talk about quiet. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson looking good. Southside expressways are all quiet as well. Out in the burbs on the Eisenhower outbound side, there's an accident blocking the two right lanes. This is on the westbound side of I-290 just before York Road out near Elmhurst in that area. So the old post office to Wolf is up to 24 minutes. To Route 390 is 35 minutes. So expect a little bit of delays on the outbound Eisenhower if you're heading out that way due to that crash blocking the two right lanes. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds, some rain in the forecast as well. Cooler temperatures, too, a high of just 71. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 69 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy and hot today with a high of 113. Right now it's clear and 90. In sports, great weekends for the White Sox and Cubs. Sox swept Kansas City, beating the Royals 9-2 yesterday. White Sox are now above 500 for the first time all season at 5-4. Cubs swept the Pirates, winning in extra innings 2-1 yesterday, this after a rain delay as well. Cubs are now 7-2, tied for the best record in the National League, or actually the best record in the National League, second best record overall in baseball, with the Yankees at 7-1. Diamondbacks were shut out by the Dodgers 3-0. And lastly, Game 2 of the Blackhawks-Edmonton Oilers series puck drop is tonight. That's a 9:30 p.m. Central Time puck drop against Edmonton. Blackhawks lead 1-0 in the best of five. Chief.
I was listening to your best buddy last night, A-Rod, talking about one of the teams having a great middle infield. I don't know that anybody's got a better middle infield than the Cubs right now.
It's pretty good with Baez and Horner, and then Jason Kipnis has been playing some second as well, and I like him, good veteran player.
That kid, the second baseman, has all the instincts. He looks like Chip Hilton from that state. He does everything right.
Yeah, didn't have a great game yesterday, but he struggled to get a bunt down when they asked him to. But I do like him, and I think he's going to be a very good player.
Well, his instincts on that line drive, he looked like Bill Walton turning in the air and throwing to get the
Bill Walton, an outlet pass?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice play. A line drive at second. He caught it, you know, full extension jump. And before he even landed here, he fired to second to try to double off the guy. Didn't get him, but kid's got instincts.
He made it close when it shouldn't have been close. David, we were talking a little bit about, did you catch a drift this weekend of the last Tuesday, the amazing, I'll say, contract slash gift slash whatever. I don't know who's tight with the Trump administration, whether it's the CEO or whatever of Kodak. They get this deal. The stock goes from at 1.2 to, what, 65, and now it's back down to, like, 38 or something. I don't know where it is this morning. But do you believe they gave the guy, like, $1.7 million new stock options on Monday, before the day before the thing was announced?
And the loan was $794 million or something on that order, which was much higher than the capitalization of the whole company. And just don't worry, pay it back in 25 years.
Yeah. For those, this is what I mean. Are those that they hear, you know, you hear me carping all the time, and I mean, I probably shouldn't do it as much as I do, but it's unless you're in the business and are foolish enough to read the stuff we read. You really don't even get the resolution trust. You know, I'm not going to go through the history of that again, but it was the original when Bush was on the Silverado board and all these other guys. Well, if you were a guy in the game, they gave you if you put up some money, they gave you 20 times as much as your dough as in leverage, right, David, for some ridiculously low price. To allow you to go buy properties out of somebody that couldn't qualify is an interesting word for the loan. So essentially it probably, I don't know, 2008 maybe, the single biggest shift I've ever seen in this country in wealth, one group of people to another, because one group was, but if you were really tied in with Bush 1's administration, they would lend you the money that you needed to get the other loan. So if you were the right guy, David Adelman, Matty Weber walk in, and they go, well, if you had $1 million, we'd lend you 20. By the way, we like you guys. Here's the mill. Now that you got a mill, here's the other 20. I mean, David, you couldn't write fiction like this.
And if you had connections to Texas or Oklahoma oil, then you were in like Flint.
Oh, God, yeah. And they ended up getting all this place in Arizona at 10, 15 cents on the buck.
Yeah.
Where other people were probably willing to pay 30 or 40 at least. Anyway, so the same thing happened with this Kodak. They gave them a loan to qualify to get the contract, then gave them the contract, right?
Right.
I mean, whatever. But you know what? I just want to be one of those guys once. Not that I think it's right. I just want to see what it feels like. Let's see. You guys need $5 million to qualify for this? Here's the $5 million. Now you qualify. Now even a chimpanzee couldn't lose money on this contract. Anyway, so
it's interesting, you know, it'll be interesting or is interesting, you know, as we went from a fossil fuel economy to, you know, whatever, alternatives or green energy or whatever, electric cars, autonomous, whatever you want to call it, what the next main thing is for you to get, you know, the insider deal.
It's going to be...
I don't know if you're tied in even with Chevron. If you qualify anymore,
I'm going to say that, boy, Matty, do something. Send a slap from the other room. I do not want to be right on this. I'm going to say the amount of foreclosures, buildings, restaurants coming out of this thing in the next year are going to be almost like the Resolution Trust. Unless we stop it real quick. How can it not be? I mean, I go by the Sports Authority store. Audrey and I go to the Thai place right across the street. Fantastic spot in Norland. So, right, is there anybody in that Sports Authority store? And she goes, no. When did they close, Matty? 8 years ago?
I was going to say at least...
they've been gone long ago.
Yeah, they've been gone quite a while. I was going to say at least 5, but maybe 10.
Yeah, I don't think it's 10.
I don't know about 10 years, but a long time.
I would guess 7 or 8. You're probably right with the 5, Matty. But I mean, the place is vacant. I mean, who's eating that lease? I mean, it's probably in court someplace, but, I mean, what about all these furniture stores and stuff that are going under now in these clothing stores? I mean, these malls, I mean, what is a mortgage on a mall going to look like now?
They closed all their last stores in 2016, sports, so 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
4 years, yeah.
And then we're left with what? One sporting goods store.
Right? Yeah, and they've got to be hurting. Dick's.
But, I mean, is there even another name?
I mean, there's some other names that are not as big, but yeah.
There's one other. I can't remember the name of it. There actually is one other that is publicly traded.
It's BC's, BJ's, something. It's a West Coast outfit, right?
Well, there's a BJ's wholesale.
Yeah, there's a...
But there's another one.
But it's two initials, whoever they are. There was one in Michigan City, a real nice store, and I can't remember the name of it. They closed right after Sports Authority. They had a bunch of stores in Michigan and Ohio and stuff. I forget what their name was. Maybe we'll just Google, you can't Google anything, our machines don't work. But, but the amount of retail space.
Kibbutz. There's Big Five Sporting Goods, symbol BGFV. That is one that I've heard of but never traded. One that I have traded is Hibbett, H-I-B-B-E-T-T, Hibbett Sports, H-I-B-B. 3-4 years ago, I did trade that a little bit.
What's the, I don't know, but these companies all get bought by people and so forth, but, Maddie, what do you suppose the business is in this year in high school football uniforms and college football and jerseys and pads and stuff? It's got to be way down. Are these places going to play?
That's a good question. Everything's down.
Yeah. So, David, what...
If we're all down, are we really down at all?
As I used to say on the trading floor, it's down so low, it's starting to look like up. David, I was listening to the Young Davids on CNBC last week. There's a shout at you. And everybody says that they've seen GDP numbers like this, and it's just like this year, and they rattle off basically their experience. And I'm going to say I've been in the game longer than any of them. I don't remember anything close to this, David. And you have to go back to, and Maddie will say I was alive, the second quarter of 1921, when the GDP was down 20% on a year, on an annualized basis. How does anybody say that they've seen something like 32.9% when it's never happened? How does
it's
anybody
never have, happened?
How does anybody have any idea?
I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, I'm sure that at the heart of the recession, the Great Recession, 2007 to 2009, we maybe had a quarter. I can't remember. Maybe down 4%, 5%.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Yeah,
maybe two quarters in a row to define the recession as it's commonly used. But I don't think anything more than that.
The our buddy Carl, he says we're bleeps. 30 million people are currently collecting jobless benefits. Government relief efforts now represent 7.1% of America's personal income. It's far above the previous record set in July of 1975, according to data from the Bureau of Economic. Guess what the previous record was? It's 7.1 now, Maddie. Guess what the previous record was. Not even a guess. 1.5. Now 7% of the personal income are checks from the government where they're printing money.
So almost 5 times.
Yeah. I don't see how this could possibly be sustainable, and I don't see how the market can stay oblivious, David.
And then the other thing you have to factor in is, I mean, obviously, a pandemic, it's a once in a, 100 years, 120 years, whatever. But, you like Trump, you hate Trump, whatever the story is, you can't totally blame him for everything.
Oh,
yes,
no,
you can
no.
blame him big time for, the way he handled it or whatever. But, there will be those voters that say, oh, geez, it was a pandemic, what could anyone have done? And they'll still vote for Trump. And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I don't take political stances. But that said, the history is that when the economy gets this bad, a incumbent is not reelected. So if you presume that history is going to repeat regardless of cause, then you have to factor in Biden. Then you have to, kind of guess as to whether his, taxation policies will be put in place. Presuming you do believe that, most foundations, economic think tanks, etc., brokerage firm research departments, et cetera, factored in, it'll cost the S&P about $12 in earnings. So if you take that and you deduct from optimistic guess of earnings 165, you go down to 153, give the market, even on a recovery basis and vaccine and all this stuff, a 20 multiple, 20 times 153 is 3,060 on the S&P, and we're sitting at 3,280. I mean, I'm not making a case for shorting the market or whatever, and I did say, you know, markets can certainly overshoot 10%, but even if you take 10%, maybe 3,400, you know, on a very, very, very generous overshoot. I mean, what's the downside? You got 280, 300 points to the downside, maybe 120 to the upside. I don't see it.
Well,
and yet the market ignores everything, comes back from every break.
Well, what you're seeing, David, I honestly believe, this is from my inflation years. I should probably have not done that then because I get this weird feeling. But the right now, our issue is nominal versus real. And the nominal part, we're going to have a money supply up 35% this year. Has the previous record been 12.5 or something?
All right, so maybe, you know, just inflated asset, you know, prices, I guess.
Well, I went to dinner with my significant other over to her cousin's on Saturday. I'm trying to get Eddie on the air to talk about what's going on in the automobile industry because he knows this stuff. His dad owned a place, right? So nobody knows more about it than Eddie. And he had, like, about 8 weeks ago, he's telling me nobody's buying anything. He had 50 cars on his lot, and now he's got 4, right? So people bought the stuff, and I think I don't know if he made that much money on a lot of it, but he did okay. He says, he goes, in the last 8 weeks, 8 to 12 weeks, the stuff that was serious retail, meaning off my lot or anybody else's lot, is now less than I have to pay for the thing. He goes, the used prices have jumped up that much because the new prices are up. And,
right.
He goes, I mean, if I was buying a car for, you know, 17 in March and selling it for 18, I'm now having to pay like 19. And he goes, but in our area, he's southwest of the city, our area, these people aren't going to pay 20 for that car. He goes, I can't get any cars at a price that I can sell them. I said, Eddie, you just described inflation. In your own way. He goes, what do you mean? I said, hey, the amount of money pouring into the system, I mean, whatever, there's people around the country that now are you know, are getting loans, are getting this, are getting that. There's money flush all over the place. God help you if you work for Kodak and got a stock option. Guess what, David? Not only that, the guy gets to sell it immediately. He doesn't have to hang on to it.
Crazy. Back to what you were talking about inflation. You know, on Face the Nation, I watch those, you know, weekly news things on Sunday, and they have Neil Kashkari, and supposedly he's a brilliant economist and great banker and blah, 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 you know, president of the Minneapolis Fed. And he gets on there and with eyes bulging and straight face or whatever, and he says, you know, I'm not worried about anything, you know, because they asked him directly, all the Fed funneling in the money and Congress and all this other stuff, and you know, blah, 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 money supply. They even mentioned it. He said, I'm not the least bit worried because our inflation figures are low. They remain low. The inflation expectations are low. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Forget even stock market asset prices. Have you noticed, you know, gold going from $1,400 to almost $2,000? Yeah, nothing. Have you noticed that the dollar, you know, having one of the bigger declines in the last 5 or 6 years? I mean, I don't, and he said it with a straight face. He looked like he believed it.
I think they do believe it. And there's always some issue that they can point to. And again, I sure wish, I don't know the year, I don't remember. I do remember listening to one of these things in the morning on Saturday and they're interviewing some Federal Reserve guy who was around during the 60s and 70s. And they said, how did you let that inflation creep in? He goes, well, it started out and, we thought it was just oil with the embargo, and even though we knew we were pouring money into the system, we thought it was just oil, and then, of course, you know, you got all kinds of trucks delivering food. When food started to go up, we figured it was still the oil piece, and so we pulled the oil and food out of the energy and food out of the calculation, and then we pulled something else out, and it was all of a sudden one meeting we walk in and we all looked at each other and said, we got inflation. It just all dawned on us, even though he essentially said we denied it for over a year.
But again, you know, you and I are not gold and silver bugs, although you have the ad, you know, to use in the protected index program, which is awesome. But, you know, we watch it as kind of an indication. You know, I've been generally bearish until the last year and a half, 2 years. You look at silver. You know, I've always been negative silver, especially when economies are slow, because in my mind it's more of an industrial metal than a precious metal. But nevertheless, you look at the market lows in third week of March, and it was, you know, under $12, and now you're ticking $25. I mean, they don't look. I mean, I'm just nobody. I'm not, you know, chairman of the Minneapolis Fed, and I say inflation expectation figures are very, very low. Very low.
Yeah, well, the just because they look at that, what is it, the TIF? What's the name of that thing? Dan trades it for some people. It's the inflation. You can buy a thing from the government where if the inflation goes...
Yeah, the gauge of inflation expectations.
Yeah, but you can actually buy the government bond where if inflation goes up, your interest rate goes up. They call those things. Nobody's done them.
That was the TIP, the inflation protection.
TIF, that's right, you're right. TIF is the tax, whatever, the local tax unit, right, the TIF. These are the TIPs, right. Yeah, Dan's traded some of those. I never have, but I don't know. But the interesting part, David, is before, when we had inflation here, the stock market went down because the inflation was publicized. And the
TIPs. Pressure inflated protected securities.
Yeah. And we had, and the stock market went way down because the interest rates went way up. Because when we had inflation, people said, I'm not lending you my money if a year from now it's worth 10% less. I want my 10%, and by the way, I want my regular interest too. But other countries didn't do that. I mean, when I talk about other countries, I mean, Venezuela, Iran, the Weimar Republic, and Germany didn't do that. The inflation didn't blow up. The actual stock market blew up as fast as the currency.
Right.
And now we're seeing that this time, somehow or another, they're pouring so much money in that even though people say, well, I really don't want to lend anybody any money. I don't know if you listened to the show last Thursday. We had Dan Janitas on. And he's really into this. Well, David, the guy knows a boatload about all the different fixed incomes and especially the oil companies and things.
Yeah, he was on right before me.
Yeah, and you know, he was saying that at some point, you know, I said, what would you do if you were trying to make a living in Europe? He goes, I don't know what I'd do. He goes, how do you put money to work at, like, you know, zero for people? Or negative 2%? He goes, it's not anything, that negative 0.2%. It's not anything that makes any sort of sense to anybody. And why should people that have capital not get paid forever? It's like all of a sudden you say to the guy making the beer, you can't charge for beer forever. Okay. You know, I mean, somehow or another they managed to overwhelm the economy to the point where interest rates didn't run up. Which last time there was inflation here, they didn't get to pull that punch, right? Because
right.
The stock market went flying way down. Because why would you buy a stock if you go in a bank at 14%? Right? But now that's not happening. Now the question is, is it going to happen? I went back into the history of the federal funds rate in the 70s. As a matter of fact, I called Robin, and I said, you know, Robin, this must have been the week that we bought the condo, or the month. 1 month, David, was it 2 months. Federal funds rate went up 4.5% in 2 months.
I actually remember that.
Yeah.
I knew people who had farms, and their mortgage rates that were adjustable went to 18, 19%.
Well, hey, David, what do you know? Do you know anything about this? We only have a minute. What's the story with this TikTok? You or Maddie? I mean, we're going to ban them from the country, and we're saying that if Microsoft buys them, that they'll be okay or something? Now,
yeah, the government's given them 45 days to complete a deal, and if so, and they make it, you know, totally U.S., it's fine.
Well, boy, have you ever seen our guys involved in this to this extent? But So now they're they're saying
Microsoft's up like $5 on the deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're getting it for nothing, right? If they get it, but now this morning, I thought they were saying they were just going to they're just going to spin it off and not give it to Microsoft at that price.
I don't know.
This is crazy stuff. The S&P futures, I'll get them here. David, what do you got to spooze up?
I got them up 21, NASDAQ up 102, Russell up 10.1, and the Dow futures up 141.
Thank you, David. We hope we'll have our stuff working tomorrow. We'll be right back tomorrow morning, Stocks and Jocks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's, get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.